Good evening and welcome in KGNU's Opera Box, the best seat in the house. I'm Ron Nadell. Tonight, my show highlights the voice and career of one of opera's more self-effacing divas, soprano Valerie Masterson, known for her radiant purity, which you can hear in this aria from the Mikado. And we'll hear her in the music of Mozart, Verdi, Rossini, Strauss, and more. Haven't heard of her? You're in for a treat if you join me now in the Opera Box. The Japanese maid Yum Yum, about to marry the emperor's son, muses on beauty and becoming royalty. With Valerie Masterson as Yum Yum and Ogden Nash conducted the Royal Philharmonic. It's 3.5 minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadell. And I've got a playlist featuring the great British soprano Valerie Masterson. She was born in Birkenhead, England in 1937 and gained notice as a young girl with her voice. She studied at Liverpool's Mathay School of Music and then later the Royal College of Music. Then after studying in Milan and London, she debuted in a small role in Carmen in Salzburg in 1963. After spending that summer singing in Italian, French, and German opera, she was signed by the D'Oyly Carte Opera Company in 1964. That's the company famous as the house of Gilbert and Sullivan comic light operas. Masterson remained their star soprano for about 5 years before broadening her career. Now, with their comic plots, Gilbert and Sullivan operettas are deceptively simple, but the music is not. The secret to their farcical stories is to perform them with all seriousness. Take, for example, Mabel and Frederick's duet from The Pirates of Penzance. As a boy, Frederick was mistakenly bound as an apprentice to a band of pirates. His guardian had bad hearing. Frederick was supposed to apprentice with a ship's pilot. Well, his indentures ended on his 21st birthday, and now he's engaged to the faithful Mabel. However, they've just learned he was born in leap year. His 21st birthday is 27 years away, and he must remain a pirate until then. Well, Frederick and Mabel sing about this unhappy turn of events, just as happiness was within their grasp.
Thank you.
Mabel and Frederick learn they cannot be married for another 27 years, but promise to be true. That's from Act Two of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance. And we heard Valerie Masterson as Mabel with Philip Potter as Frederick, and Isidore Godfrey conducted the Royal Philharmonic. This is part of my program highlighting the British soprano, Valerie Masterson. One more example of Masterson's comic abilities is as Josephine from Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore. Josephine is the daughter of the captain of the HMS Pinafore, and he wants her to marry the much older but wealthy Admirable Porter. She, however, is in love with the lowly sailor Ralph Rackstraw, and they plan to elope. But as that day approaches, Josephine weighs the pluses and minuses of life without luxury.
Street with stuffy children crying, where organs yell and clacking housewives fume, and clothes are hanging out all day drying, with one cracked looking glass to see your face in, and dinner served up in a pudding basin.
Oh,
Josephine, the captain's daughter, plans to elope with the lowly tar Ralph Rackstraw, but pauses to consider a life without luxuries. From Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore, with Valerie Masterson, and James Walker conducted the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. With her success in Gilbert and Sullivan, Masterson was considered one of the greatest sopranos in that repertoire, and her voice was complimented as being like an operatic Julie Andrews. Well, when we return, Masterson makes a career choice.
Support comes from Paramount Theater, presenting Jad Abumrad, curator of Radiolab, a syndicated public radio program, featuring a scientific and philosophical lecture presentation to a new generation of listeners on Sunday, April 17th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets and information at ParamountDenver.com.
Masterson's fame in Gilbert and Sullivan brought her wider publicity, especially attention to her special vocal qualities, and that gave her some other options.
Hello, I'm Valerie Masterson, and I sang at ENO for about 22 years as a principal soprano, which I'm very proud of. I didn't really have opera as the end goal, but it gradually sort of, you know, you go to one level and then you feel you can attain something. So I went into Gilbert and Sullivan, did that for 4 years, and then I thought, you know, I could try perhaps for opera, so I did. And fortunately, I had one little note in my voice, which is D above top C. Don't forget, Pavarotti was famous for his top C, but somehow I could manage to do it. It was all my Julie Andrews singing. And so I could sing this top D, you see. So when I first came here and did an audition, they said, can you sing Constanza in Seraglio? Well, you say yes to everything, don't you? So I'd only done one arias. And I said, oh, yes, yes. So they said, well, come back and audition for that, you see. And she's got, I don't know, umpteen Ds in the thing. So yeah, that was my turning of the key into opera and into the Colosseum.
Well, the role that she mentions, Costanza, in Mozart's Abduction from the Seraglio, was a breakout role for her. Not only was it not Gilbert and Sullivan, it is known as one of the more difficult roles with the famous aria Martern Aller. Here is Valerie Masterson as Costanza, the fiancée of the Spanish nobleman Belmont. Costanza was abducted by pirates and sold to the Turkish Pasha Salim. He demands that she join his harem or else, but she refuses. She tells him that tortures of all kinds, Martern Aller, may await her, but they will not shake her resolve, even if she suffers pain.
Oh,
Constanza refuses to bend to the will of the Turkish Pasha Salim. From Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio, with Valerie Masterson, and Gustav Kuhn conducted the London Philharmonic. It's 25 minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadel. And if you've just joined me, I've got a playlist highlighting the great British soprano, Valerie Masterson. Well, she was quickly in demand in opera houses across Europe. And she would also return occasionally to D'Oyly Carte and Gilbert and Sullivan. At first, these other roles were secondary supporting roles, but she quickly moved to lead roles. And she was signed as a lead soprano with the English National Opera. One of her signature lead roles was in Gustave Charpentier's Louise. Louise lives with her bourgeoisie parents in Paris, and she feels suffocated. When she falls in love with Julian, it opens a new world for her, and by Act Three, she's moved in with him, feeling free at last. And at the beginning of Act Three, she tells him how happy she has been ever since they've met. Depuis le jour, sung by Valerie Masterson in English, which is the tradition of the English National Opera.
Thank you.
Oh, Louise, having moved out of her parents' house, expresses her happiness to her lover, Julian. From Charpentier's Louise, sung in English, Depuis de Jour, with Valerie Masterson and Charles McCarris conducted the English National Opera. That's part of my tribute to Valerie Masterson. Although Masterson's radiant voice was not like that of a dramatic soprano, her vocal range and expressiveness brought requests from her for some of those heavier roles, such as Violetta from Verdi's La Traviata, the Paris courtesan who never wanted to be tied down, who falls in love with the young Alfredo. Well, she's convinced by Alfredo's father to break off with him for the sake of his sister. The scandal of Alfredo's affair with a courtesan would interfere with Alfredo's sister's impending engagement, and Violetta relents and agrees to break off with Alfredo and bids him farewell, addio del passato, here sung in English. Courtesan Violetta breaks off with Alfredo Germont, even though she truly is in love with him, with Valerie Masterson, and again, Charles McCarris conducted the English National Opera. Well, another of Masterson's signature roles was that of the young Sophie from Richard Strauss' Der Rosenkavalier, his great romantic comic opera, which is about as far from Gilbert and Sullivan as you can get. Here she is in the wonderful duet for the presentation of The Rose from Act Two. Young Sophie's nouveau riche parents have committed her to an arranged marriage with the rich old boor, Baron von Ox. Well, the 18th century tradition was that the groom sent a messenger with a rose as a proposal. And the young man, Octavian, a trouser role sung by mezzo, Octavian brings the rose to Sophie. And when the two young people make eye contact, it's love at first sight. Masterson's bright voice fits the young girl's shy character to a T. Here, sung in English. Sophie and Octavian. Fall in Love at First Sight from Richard Strauss' Der Rosenkavalier, with Valerie Masterson as Sophie and Josephine Barstow Mezzo as Octavian. Charles McCarris conducted the English National Opera. The Doyle Cart and the English National Opera Company singers, they're part of a family. Most of the singers are British, and they work as a recurring ensemble. But as Masterson's repertoire broadened and she worked across Europe, her path invariably crossed with many of the biggest names in the international opera scene. And here she is as Matilda in a duet with José Carreras in a performance of Rossini's Elisabetta de Inglaterra, Elizabeth, Queen of England. In this duet, the British Earl of Leicester has just celebrated his defeat over the Scots, but he is secretly married to Matilda, the daughter of Mary, Queen of Scots. In this scene, the couple are alone, and Leicester warns Matilda they must be cautious during the festival. Their lives may be in danger if their secret gets out. With José Carreras.
Incauto che festi, seguirmi.
Leicester, secretly married to the daughter of Mary Queen of Scots, recognizes their precarious situation. Incauta che festi, from Rossini's Elizabeth, Queen of England. We heard Valerie Masterson as Matilda and Jose Carreras as the Earl of Leicester. Gianfranco Massini conducted the London Symphony Orchestra. It's part of my program highlighting the British soprano Valerie Masterson. Well, she has received many honors and awards during her career for her singing, for her acting, for her work with young British singers. She more or less retired in 1997, her voice still fresh and youthful. With her broad repertoire spanning Gilbert and Sullivan, Baroque opera, bel canto, verismo, and the German operas like Strauss and Wagner, she was asked to name her favorite opera of all of them.
People say, what was your favorite opera? And, you know, having done about 25 new operas for me, I couldn't pick out one at all, but I could pick out some moments for me. And one moment came in Julius Caesar when, in the end of the second act, the big aria, well, I felt my voice was warmed up, I felt the audience had warmed up, and I felt that the orchestra and Sir Charles and I flew. I've got a thing about birds anyway, I like to watch birds in flight, and I felt like that. I felt like I'd taken off the stage and I was just floating on top of the orchestra. It was the most wonderful feeling, and, you know, there are little moments in operas like that for me.
She's referring to Da Tempeste. It's one of Handel's most colorful and demanding coloratura arias from his opera Giulio Cesare, Julius Caesar. In the aria, Cleopatra's been contending against her brother for the throne of Egypt. She needs Julius Caesar's support against her brother. And when she learns that Caesar is coming to see her, she's overjoyed. He'll help her weather the storm against her brother. Here, sung in English.
Stormy winds, my ship is sailing,
The great Valerie Masterson as Cleopatra in Handel's Giulio Cesare, with Charles McCarris conducting the English National Opera. Well, now 85, she lives with her husband, the retired principal flautist with the D'Oyly Carte Opera Company. And Masterson continues to give master classes and lectures on singing and on her career. Well, I'm your host, Ron Nadel. I hope you enjoyed this tribute to the great Valerie Masterson, and I want to thank you all for joining me, keeping me company here in KGNU's Opera Box, and my tribute to Valerie Masterson. Stay tuned for The Present Edge, and your host, Gary McBride.
A really easy way to support this station is to donate a car you don't need anymore. It's free to you and could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Learn more at kgnu.org.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Up next, a classic Monday.
Support comes from Tatakin Tree, serving the Colorado Front Range. Tatakin provides full-service tree care, including tree preservation, planting, and a holistic approach to pest and disease management. For more information, call 303-554-7035 or visit tadikentree.com.
Support comes from the KGNU listener members and by North Boulder Counseling, specializing in anxiety counseling and depression treatment. Offices in Boulder and online options throughout Colorado. More information can be found at northbouldercounseling.com. Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name is Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Tonight, music by Leone Sinigaglia, Adolphus Hailstork, Nevit Kadalu, and Bo Linda. We'll begin with a string quartet by the Italian composer and mountaineer Leone Sinigaglia. Sinigaglia was a keen mountain climber and has been described as the first great Italian climber in the Dolomites. His book, Climbing Reminiscences of the Dolomites, was published in English in 1898 and is still regarded as a classic of climbing literature. Leone Sinigaglia also studied music at the Conservatory in Turin, the city where he was born in 1868. In his 20s and 30s, he hung out with Johannes Brahms in Vienna, from whom he developed a taste for absolute music, and with Antonín Dvořák in Prague, who taught him how to apply classical techniques to the arrangement of popular songs. After returning to Turin in 1901, Sinigaglia transcribed an enormous amount of popular song from the oral tradition, largely collected on the hills of Cavaretto. During that time, he composed his string quartet, which we'll listen to now. It's in the traditional four movements and exemplifies Sinigaglia's dual inheritance, a commanding Central European facility combined with a natural Italian lyricism.